As I was preparing for what I was going to share, I came across a quote, and I shared it on Facebook, so some of you may have seen it. It's from a guy that I follow. His name's Leif Hetland, and this was his quote. It says, "I want the world to know a God that looks like Jesus." And that, like, hit me. I want the world to know a God that looks like Jesus. Because the world knows a lot of gods, right? Some of them are a lot of false gods, but the world knows a lot of gods. So how do we get to a place as a church, as individuals, where the world knows a God that looks like Jesus? So I started praying about that, and I started thinking about that. And I started thinking about how our world looks now for us as people, as individuals. And we live in a culture, we live in a society where the goal is to rise ourselves to the top, right? We always are looking for the next promotion. We're looking for the next way to spotlight ourselves. I was involved in theater growing up. Always wanted the lead, right, Josie? We always want that lead, that time to be in the spotlight. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to do our best, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to excel. But what would our lives look like if we were living our lives in a way that we wanted the world to know a God that looked like Jesus? What if we were not created to be the lead in our own lives? What if we are supposed to be supporting roles in the movie about Wade or about ourselves? Because I think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think that we're supposed to live our lives in a way that we support the mission of Jesus. We support the mission of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to live our lives in a way that our story is a testimony to what the Holy Spirit's doing. Not just in our lives, what the Holy Spirit's doing throughout the events, amount of time, history, space that we've occupied. And when we take that back seat to the Holy Spirit, when we allow Him to take the lead, things change. Okay? I talked a little bit about my story. For many years, I was in the spotlight of my story. I was living a way that made me comfortable. I was living a way that was trying to make Wade happy by earning lots of money and doing lots of things that I thought was going to lead to success. Was going to lead that I was going to be able to leave a legacy and a testimony. But the more I made it about me, the more miserable and unhappy I became. There came a point that I realized it had to stop being about me. And it had to start being about what God wanted and how big He was. How many of you have ever been outside during the summer and you've looked up at the sky and you've seen the vast universe? Anyone ever looked up at the sky and thought, wow, I'm pretty small and insignificant, but look how big creation is. Look how amazingly big God's made creation. That makes God pretty big too, right? According to Psalm 148:3, the stars and the moon were created to worship Him. The stars and the moon worship God. Puts Him at the center, right? If the cosmos is worshiping God, shouldn't we? Why are we making it about us? Why do we make our lives every single day about us? Reality is, if I cease to exist today, if I drop over dead, the ministry of the Holy Spirit goes on, right? The ministry of Jesus still continues. Pastor Steve just talked about we lost Tom, we lost Janet, we lost Peggy a few weeks ago. They were amazing people of faith. They had an amazing testimony, and they made a huge difference in all of our lives. But with their passing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit goes on. Life continues, right? I want you to think about your story. We're transitioning from 2019 to 2020, and it's a good time to look back. It's a good time to look forward. But I want you to ask yourself a specific question. I want you to ask yourself this question. In the past, how did people view Jesus based on the way I lived my life? When people looked at you in the way that you're living your life, the way that you live your life, how did they see Jesus? It's a tough question, isn't it? But it's an important question. There's not a single day that goes by that we don't think about and we don't make choices based on how people view us. Okay? We may not make it as a conscious decision, but we make those decisions. We wear what we wear sometimes based on what people are going to look at us and think, right? Does this sweater make me look fat? Does anyone think this? No, I look fat because I'm fat. But we make decisions on what we wear, how we're going to do our hair, what we're posting on social media based on what's going to get us looked at, what people are going to see, what's going to get us the most attention. And if we're not careful and we start living our lives, and I'm not saying that all of those things are bad, okay? Some of you look very lovely today in the outfits that you've chosen and the way you've done your hair and, ladies, the way you've done your makeup and all those things. You look wonderful, okay? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be conscious about those things. We've got to be careful that we don't start living our lives entirely by people's standards. And that we need to look at our lives differently and leverage our lives differently based on God's standard for us. If you've got your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. And here Paul's writing a letter to the church of Corinth, and he's talking about letters of commendation or letters of recommendation. And culturally speaking, what was happening here is, it was important back then that when they were coming into a new town or a new church, they had letters of recommendation that they would give to the leaders of the church that would say, "This is my letter from Paul because it gives me credibility. Because you know Paul, I need his credibility so that you take me seriously, so that you support my ministry, so you support what I'm doing." And so that was kind of what he's talking about here. But if you look, I'm going to read the scripture. I'm actually going to read it from the Passion Translation. But you can follow along in your Bibles as well. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through, I'm actually going to do through 6. Okay. It says, "So are we beginning to sound like those who speak highly of themselves? Do we really need letters of recommendation to validate our ministry like others do? Do we really need your letter of endorsement? Of course not. For your very lives are our letters of recommendation, permanently ingrained on our hearts, recognized and read by everybody. As a result of our ministry, you are living letters written by Christ, not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not carved into stone tablets, but on the tablets of tender hearts. We carry this confidence in our hearts because of our union with Christ before God. Yet we don't see ourselves as capable even to do anything in our own strength, for our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of law, but through the power of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life." I want you to notice verse 2, okay? Verse 2 in the Passion Translation says, "recognized and read by everyone." Some translations say, "known and read by all men." Do you know how we best communicate the message of Christ? It's how people see our lives. And when people see your lives, what are you communicating to them? It's your opportunity every single day to point others to the greater story of Jesus, to point others to the greater story of what the Holy Spirit's capable of, not only in your life, but in their life. Okay, when people look at you, there should be no doubt about whom your allegiance is given. When they look at you, they should see Jesus. When they look at me, they should see Jesus. There should be no doubt in their minds. And sometimes we don't live our lives that way. And I'm guilty, because I'm human, and sometimes I have emotions, and sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say, and I do things that I shouldn't do. But overall, the people that know you best, when they look at you, they should see a reflection of Jesus. Did Paul need a book written about him? Absolutely not. People knew who Paul was because they knew Paul's story of transformation. They knew what the Holy Spirit, what God had done in his life, And they recognized that. That's what gave him the credibility to write the letters of commendation for other people coming into the church, the early church. All right, I'm going to give you a really bad analogy. Any of you ever gone to the produce section of the store meaning to pick up a head of lettuce, and you picked up a head of cabbage? Just me and Laura. Okay, a couple of us. Okay, they look similar, right? But if we look, and this is the analogy I want to give you, let's say the world is a head of lettuce, okay? And when we receive Christ as the church, we become transformed into something different. But if we only look like cabbage, it creates confusion because we still kind of look like the world, right? Because when we receive Christ, when we come into fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with God, we're supposed to look different than the rest of the world. There should be stark contrast between us and the rest of the world. And so if we live our lives looking like cabbage, we lose our power and our influence over people, because why do they want to come to a church that already looks like them? We need to look like carrots or radishes or whatever you want to look like. But we need to look like whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to look like. Okay? But we need to stand in stark contrast to the rest of the world. We need to be carrots. All right? Everybody want to be a carrot today? So we need to stand in contrast to the rest of the world. Stop looking like cabbage. If we live our lives in a way that's not a striking contrast, people are not drawn. Why were people drawn to Jesus? If we stop and we look at that, because wherever Jesus went, he had crowds of people. He had to retreat to get away from people at different times in his ministry. Why did they come to Jesus? Because he brought something different. He didn't look like the rest of the religious rulers and the rest of the religious authorities. He brought something totally different. He brought a new sense of justice, social justice. He brought a new sense of politics to the world that people were craving. And so they sought after him and they followed him. He brought truth that people want. And sometimes I think we forget that. We don't want to offend anybody, right? So we're going to look like lettuce because I don't want to offend anybody. The reality is people want something different. This world's not working for them. And so we need to stand in complete contrast with the world and look differently. Looking more like Jesus. Living our lives transformed. Our lives ought to be an indisputable testimony to the things that God has done for us. The work that Jesus has done inside of us. We need to be a living picture of the gospel to everyone around us. Acts chapter 3. Let me set this up. In Acts chapter 3, we find Peter and John, and they're coming to the temple, and they approach a man who is begging outside of the temple. He's begging at the gate called Beautiful, and he's begging for money. They don't have money, so they do something for him that's better than money. They pray for him, and he's healed. And this, I love this. This is what it says in verse 9. It says, all of the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was him who sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. All the people saw him praising God. All the people saw him praising God. When people see you, do they see you praising God? Let me give you a stark difference in testimony. If I'm sitting outside the church and my legs are broke and somebody comes up and they pray for me and I'm healed, how should I respond? Do I run down the aisle and I say, look at me, my legs are fixed? Or do I point the glory to Jesus, to God? Because there's a difference. When you take that and you turn it from about you to about what God's done. And people see the difference. They saw him walking, praising God. And what were they filled with? They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Because they knew this man. They knew he was the one that was sitting, begging. And now they see him up, and he is directing the glory to God. And so they're seeing a picture of God's glory. That's going to have impact. That's going to have impact. What do people see when they see you and the life you live? How are you going to choose in 2020 to be a reflection of God? how are you going to become a supporting actor in your own life? And I don't want you to misunderstand, because I'm big on identity. You know that, if you've heard me teach before. I'm not taking away from your identity, because you are sons, you are daughters of God. You walk in His authority. But when you walk in somebody's authority, you don't take credit, because you're in their authority, right? It's like, probably another bad analogy, but let's think about the press secretary of the United States. When they come out and deliver their speech or their talk, okay, whose authority are they acting in? The president's. When it becomes about the press secretary and not about the message from the Oval Office, they're not doing their job very well. It's the same way in our lives. When the message becomes about me, not about God, I'm not doing my job very well as a Christian, as a believer, because our job is to walk in authority as a son, as a daughter, carrying all of the giftings that we've talked about, all of the amazing stuff that God pours out and gives us and wants to give us as His children. But I need to walk in the authority, pointing always, always to God the Father. All right. I'm going to kind of end there, because we want to bless you, and we want to kind of just release Holy Spirit and gifts and stuff into you as we move into 2020. But I just want to end with this. When you look back into the Old Testament, Exodus in particular, Exodus 15, Moses has been freed from being a captive. And it says in Exodus 15:1 that they sang a song. And that song was not just for them in their tribe. That song was a song that was proclaiming what God had done for them to all of the nations, to all people. I think God has songs for some of us today. And I think God wants you to not just hold your song in and sing it for yourself, but God wants you to proclaim your song. And I'm talking figuratively. I don't want to hear all of you singing. Maybe I do. I don't know. Okay, but I think God has something for you that you are to proclaim to your circle of people, the people that you have the most influence, but you are to proclaim it everywhere you go. And so that's what we kind of want to bless you with, and we kind of want to just ask the Holy Spirit just to kind of flow into you as we enter 2020. So I was praying. By the way, today happens to be, and this is a coincidence that I'm speaking, but it happens to be National Youth Pastor Day. And the reason why it is this Sunday is because all the senior pastors take the day after Christmas off, or the holiday after Christmas off. So that's where we are. So good morning and welcome. And as I was praying for this service, and I was praying for the Holy Spirit to give me some direction as to where He wanted to go and what He wanted to do, I got checked, because the service isn't about what I want to do and where I want to go. The service belongs to the Holy Spirit. And so this morning what we want to do is we want to offer you guys an opportunity to give a testimony of what God has done in your life this past year or whenever, and just give credit and glory to God for what He's done as we reflect on 2019, and we anticipate what the Holy Spirit, what God's going to do in our lives for 2020. So, we're going to open up this mic. And I have to also admit that I didn't have total faith that all of you would come forward to give testimonies. So, I planted some testimonies. They're legit. But I planted some people to come up and give testimonies. But we want to do that now. Just give you an opportunity to say thank you to God for the things that He's done. So, you can start coming now, so I don't have to keep babbling. Okay, so just take the mic and the opportunity just to thank God for what He's doing, and that's great. You can line up here on the front row, be the on deck section. All right, Josh.
Well, this year I thought was going to be just like every other year, me being alone, depressed, and I thought it was just going to be just one of my normal sad years. But coincidence struck me in August. Actually, I met my girlfriend currently. We've been dating for over 5 months now, and our 5 month is always going to be on Jesus' birth, always on Christmas, because August 25th is when we got together. So I thought I was just going to be alone for 2019, but no, I God actually got me someone to be with. He also has helped me through a lot of problems that I've had with school, with mom going in and out of jail, mom being better. He's helped me with a lot of problems, and I thank him for that, and I always pray that he keeps doing things to help me out, and I keep getting more and more better with every day passing by in God's name. So I just wanted to thank God and everything that he's done for me.
Amen.
I have two today. One happened back in September. Marilee and I went and attended a Ken Fish Deliverance and Healing Conference. And those of you that are close to me knew that I had been struggling with a UTI for a year and a half. I had been on an antibiotic, and it would not go away. And I received a group prayer there. Many of us went up, and the reason why we were called was because we had a family member that had been in demonic lodge. And I had three family members that in my family. And I had been prayed for I don't know how many times, and I did not receive the healing. I went up. When I walked back from that prayer that day, the Lord said, now that healing is for you, but now you have to walk into that faith and come off that antibiotic to prove that it's healed. I did. It hasn't come back, and I give him all the praise and the glory for that. And the second one is that Jesus has brought me through 3 months of walking through a really hard time with my dad. We had to sell his house. I had to go through all of his stuff from 50 years, him and mom's stuff, and move him into a senior center. And now he's not driving anymore, so I do everything for him now. But I'm on the upside of that, and I give him all the praise and glory for keeping me so close to him that even though I was having a really bad day, that he gave me that sweet peace to sleep every night. Thank you, Jesus.
Go back to 2017 when the church took the Israel trip. That was the year I decided to take a year off of school. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure if my calling was still in youth ministry or not. But that Israel trip opened my eyes, and the Lord confirmed my calling. So I've been in school now 2 years continuously. I'll be a second semester junior this coming spring. It just really confirmed my calling this whole past couple years. And with family being there supporting me, I've been able to go to two national youth worker conventions, which are huge. Those are where all the national youth workers come together and just can be children for a weekend while still learning how to strengthen ourselves for the children of the youth. So this past couple years has just been really strengthening for me as a going to be a youth minister. I've been introduced to a pastor at my school, and I'm going to intern with him over the summer. He's really been influenced me, and Wade has been a great influence to me as a youth pastor. So these past 2 years have really been a calling and a reconfirming that I am called to youth ministry, and that's what the Lord wants me to do.
About this time last year, I felt the nudge to see our preschool expand. I believe was a real need for a grace-filled, biblical school. It's hard to find those two aspects. And I'm too old to do this, but God has given me the energy, and we have a full school this year with kindergarten and first grade. And we've started the charter process, and I'm standing on God's promise that we'll have second and third graders next year as well.
Good morning. Oh, I got so much to be thankful for, I can't even tell you. Let me start with 34 years of active addiction. I praise Jesus every day for taking that from me. And power of prayer. The power of prayer. hour. Yeah, my mother, she'd been praying for me, and all the folks in this church prayed for me for quite a few years, and you know who you are, and I really do thank you for that. That meant a lot. It helped me out. And I just want to give Jesus all the praise and glory for transforming my life and making me a better person today. Thank you, Lord.
First of all, as of right now, I just want to say I am so proud of my son. He broke my heart. God bless him. And I'm thankful for the fact that I could stand here today, 4.5 months, almost 5 months clean off of drugs. And God gave me the strength to walk away cold turkey. And I am now standing here a full-time mom. I'm standing here a full-time daughter, sister, friend, a fellow person in the Christian community. I actively seek God daily. We speak on the norm, like it's like there's nothing bad about it. Like I swear he's with me every time I turn around. Like, did you just see this? I thank him for the fact that he's got my back. And I'm so thankful for the fact that I'm making it with my 17-year-old daughter out of state, and she's starting college. I've got my 11-year-old daughter that I'm about that far from seeing now. And I just wanted to stay here and say thank you for all of your strong prayers that you've kept me on prayer lists. And y'all have heard my prayer requests for my family. My mom's health is doing much better now. She's having a lot more good days. She's out the water as far as the sepsis. It's gone. The double pneumonia is gone. She has her voice back. And I'm thankful for that. She's wobbly. She can't walk and she falls a blah, blah, but she's getting there. And I'm grateful for the fact that she hasn't froze to death in a home with no heat. And so I want to continue to ask for her to stay there, but I'm thankful to God and everybody in this room who's helped me keep strong. And I just want y'all to know how great that y'all have been to my family. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You deserve it all, man. I love y'all.
My story. 20 months ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this. Dave, could you come up here for a minute? This is what the Lord did for me. A while back, me and Dave had went out and had a breakfast, and we disagreed on something, and I've been harboring a resentment. And he's a friend of mine I've known for a lot of years, and I don't like the fact that I don't get to talk to him like I would like to, because no matter what, we're children of Christ. He's my brother. I'm his brother. 20 months ago, I couldn't do this because I didn't know the Lord. But I want to apologize to you and make amends to you, and I love you. So 20 months ago, I couldn't do that. But because of Jesus Christ, I'm able to do that today. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you all the bad things that happened in my life. Most of you know, I was a needle addict. I was addicted to 5 different chemicals all the time, wanting to get high and just have my way. And just, I didn't care about you. I wanted your money. I was homeless. I didn't have clothes. I didn't have a car, a place to live, nothing. I had demons. I had it all. I went through it all. But there's some people in this audience that need to be recognized for what they've done for my life. Pat Berger, Dave Beats, Cynthia Miller, Edie Myers, Dorothy Dubois, definitely. Who am I forgetting? Brandon Wilson, he's not here today. Wade Kirk, Pastor Steve, and his wife and family. And just everybody that I know, I'm so grateful and thank you that my life is not on the ground anymore. I've been lifted up to a higher high.